If you turn to Romans chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 18 through 25, and we're going to be speaking on salvation by divine power. Salvation is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone, as we study the Bible. By God's grace, I stand here this morning, and I'm able to proclaim Jesus Christ to you. It's through faith and believing that He died for my sin. He's given me a new life and a new beginning. This is something I pray that each and every one of you have today is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When I think about the word grace for just a minute, I heard an interesting sermon this morning, and it talks strictly on grace. It's by God's grace that everything has happened. It's through faith that we believe those things have happened because of what He's done for us. You read Hebrews in chapter 11, it's the faith chapter of the Bible. And He talks about that faith, you know, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many of you here this morning truly believe that Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God? How many of you believe that He came, He died, He rose again, and is coming back again to take us all home one day? Would you stand right now when you talk about Christ to someone else? Are you afraid to mention His name? Or are you bold about it and you proclaim it to a lost and dying generation? We're living in a day and time where the world is trying to suppress the Christian walk of life. I mentioned this morning in Sunday school class, I said, we talk about equality today. We talk about everybody's the same, amen. That's not true either. Everybody's different in their own right. We're all made different. Even though we're made in the image of God, we're not the same. The word equality stands out today because everybody is trying to do their own thing, their own way, in their own eyes. I want you to realize something this morning. If you do not know what the word equality means today and trying to pass laws and things today, you better go read up on it. Because if the law of equality is ever passed, Christianity is going to become a second-rate, second-class citizen in this world. You will not be able to preach about the gay community. You will not be able to preach against Islam or anything else that's in the Bible that goes against the Word of God. It is sad because we as individuals need to understand something. God's Word is always right. It is never wrong. God's Word is truth. And we as a nation today need to get back to God's truth. And the only truth that we need is what's between the pages of this book called the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's all God's Word to us of how we're supposed to live our lives. But the world is turning it upside down, saying we do not need God in our society anymore. We do not need anything but making our own rules and living our own way that we feel that we should live. Well, I want to show you this morning in this text a man by the name of Abraham who followed God right to the teeth pretty much in living his life according to God's way. If you start reading about the old saints of the Bible in the Old Testament, and you go to the New Testament and read about the apostles and all the rest of the disciples, you'll find out that God had one message for all of us, that is to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to turn our lives around and start to live it to the fullest potential that He has given to us. The question is, are we, as Christians, living up to our calling as a Christian today? My answer to that is no, we're not. We are a long ways from it, because I think sometimes the only thing we want to believe in is ourselves, our lives that we live, and not to put the Lord first place and foremost in our walk with Him. Would you please stand with me in reverence to reading God's Word this morning, chapter 4, the book of Romans, verses 18 through verse 25. If Paul penned these words, he says, "Who against hope believeth in hope? That he might come the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith," he said, "we considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither did," it said, "the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered," it talked about, "not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And fully," he says, "and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. That was not written for his sake alone, that it may what it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification," my question to that is this: who else is there to believe but God Almighty? Let's pray. Father, today, I do pray for the indwelling of the Spirit in this church service. I pray that we will feel your grace, your love, and your mercy today. That you will fill our hearts with a relationship that can only come from above. And then we'll let your love be manifested through us and so that we can reach out and love those around us. And I know, Father, sometimes it's hard. But we can do it with your power and your strength and the encouragement that comes through your precious word and through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. The question this morning to you is this: how strong is your faith? How strong is your faith? When you start studying the Bible, you'll find out very quickly where you stand with the Lord. You either stand with Him or you stand against Him. You either obey or you disobey. You either regard what He tells you or you disregard what He tells you. We have a tendency sometimes to just want to pick and choose what God's Word teaches us. If you start to pick and choose from the Bible what you want and what you don't want to do, you might as well take the Bible, throw it in the trash can, and never go back and pick it up again. Because as soon as you take God's Word and change anything in it, you've already defiled God's Word in the relationship with Jesus Christ. In this text, Paul tries to tell us very plainly some interesting things. I want you to go back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 very quickly with me, because I want to show you something that he says. He talks about his relationship, and he gives you a salutation, and he says this: Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which has promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made, he said, of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to faith among all nations for his name's sake, among whom are we also the called of Jesus Christ. I want you to realize something this morning. Every one of us in this sanctuary that has Christ in their life, you have been called of him. And you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And today, as we look at Abraham's life, I want to talk about the analysis of Abraham's faith, how strong it was, and how he was willing to do what God told him to do. Now, if you think about Abraham, and I know that some of you have studied this before, Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees, they talk about it. He lived in a pagan nation, a pagan country. He worshipped everything from a four-legged beast to the sun god and everybody else. But it's amazing how the Lord came and spoke to him one day and called him by the name, and he called him Abram. He said, Abram. And he gives that old saying to everybody, says, Lord, here am I. It seems like every time that God speaks to somebody, he says, Lord, here am I. And all of a sudden, he says, I have something I want you to do. I want you to pack up everything you've got, and I'm going to take you to a land, he said, that's better than where you're at today. He said, I'm going to show you what direction to take. Well, at the time, if you're thinking with Abram, he didn't know anything other than where he lived at, of Ur of the Chaldees. That's where he was. That's where he spent his life. That's where he was raised. Then all of a sudden, God taps him on the shoulder and says, I've got a plan for you. I want you to follow my direction. I want to lead you to a place that's better than where you are, and I will make of you a great nation. Now, when you think about that for just a minute, who in the world was going to pack up everything they got and move somewhere else when somebody is like God says, okay, I'm talking to you. He didn't have any inclination of God, but it was at the time. But as soon as he spoke to him, he knew. You remember Moses at the burning bush? Remember when God spoke to him through that burning bush? And he said, Lord, here am I. You remember what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus? He said, Lord, he said, what will thou have me to do, when he called his name? When God speaks to you, I'm going to tell you right now, you will know it, you will feel it, and you will answer it. It's just like Isaiah said, Lord, when the Lord said, who are we going to send? He said, here am I, send me. A lot of times we have people that don't want to go, don't want to know any more than what Jesus tells them, you know, just that little bit in church, and that's it. But the Lord tapped you on the shoulder this morning and said, I have a plan for you, and I want you to go do such and such and such. The first thing you're going to do, like most people do today, is say, Lord, there's somebody else better than me. I can't fulfill that obligation. Well, God will always equip you for any obligation he has for you to do. And you need to move in the direction that God gives you. Now, Abraham himself, as we know, there are some things I want to give to you. First of all, the The apostle himself declares that Abraham had great hope against hope if he believed, it says. You know, it's hard to believe somebody when you don't really see them, amen? We like to see it, touch it, smell it, taste it, and all the good stuff. But when God speaks to you through that little small voice that indwells us today through the Holy Spirit, you know he's there. You will feel his presence, and you will want to move. Look at verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, if you were in Abraham's situation at this time, Abraham was about 100 years old when he had his child. Sarah was about 90. Some of you ladies would laugh, and some of you men will laugh, because the body says about that time, the body's dead, you can't produce, you can't do this, you can't do that. Remember this. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is too hard with God. God can do whatever God says he's going to do. The fact is, do you believe that? We are to believe. Hope. That's hope of a better day to come. That's the hope of another day that's coming. And the hope is in Jesus Christ, who has given you life, given you an abundant life, and given you a new life. And that life will be one day in heaven above. The place we studied about, the thing we read about, we talked about new heaven and new Jerusalem, the new earth that's going to come one day. Now, as you look at Abraham's life for just a minute, he was accounted as a patriarch at this time. And as God led him for Ur of the Chaldees to Beersheba and the places that he went to, down into Egypt and other places, he gave him the direction and said to him, I'm going to make you a great nation. Now, if I was Abraham and at that time thinking to myself, you're going to make me a great nation, that sounds good. The first question I would ask God is this, how are you going to do it? I'm old. I'm no good anymore. I can move around. That's about it. My wife, Sarah, she's of old age. Is she going to conceive of a child, you know, and all this? And we know what happened when the word came. Finally, when the word came, they were in the tent that day, and the angel told them and said, you're going to have a son. And it said that Sarah in the other tent did what? That she laughed. And he said, what are you laughing about? I would have laughed too, wouldn't you? Sure you would have. You would say, no way, Jose. Is that what you just said? Not going to happen in this lifetime. And then all of a sudden, we know what happened in the story. After all the years of waiting, we know that Sarah gave her handmaid Hagar to Abraham, you know, to have a child with, and they did. And he had Ishmael, as we know. And we know that wasn't God's plan, and that was trouble because of Ishmael. Then Isaac was born. Everybody knows that the name Isaac means laughter, because they laughed, you know, before he was conceived and having that child. And there's always turmoil between Ishmael, it says, and between Isaac. And it always happened that way. Well, we have turmoil today in the Middle East between the Palestinians and also between Israel today because of those two. You understand that? Those two nations that came out of that are still in turmoil today, fighting against one another. It was not God's plan for them to have that child named Ishmael, but it happened. You know, he knew even before that. But they did the things they shouldn't have done and got into trouble. Now, here's Abraham, right? All of a sudden, he's going to this place, this great land, going to have a son. He says it's going to be multiplied. If you count the stars in heaven, it'll be more than that. Now, that's a lot of stars when you look up there. I read an article the other day. A man went on a trip to the Congo. And he said while he was in the Congo, he said at night, he got up at night, he couldn't sleep. And when he walked out, he looked up and he was so impressed at the stars he could see. Millions and millions of stars, he said, in the heavens. And he asked his guide, he said, I can't believe how many stars are up here. I've never seen it like this before. And this is what he said. He said, because you're not in a polluted nation. He said, you're seeing the clarity of the heavens of God. When you look into heaven today, what do you say? You didn't see all that many stars, do you? Because of the way the atmosphere is, the way things are. But he said he saw God's glory through all of his creation, through those beautiful stars. When you can see God's creation every day, shouldn't you be overjoyed by that? When you see a young child that's born, shouldn't you be overjoyed by that? I see our children here that are growing up real fast, and it's something else to see that. It's something else when I see kids that we saw when I first came and were little, now raising their own children, you know. I think to myself, we just getting old, Warren, isn't that right? Amen. You know, and you see this happening. You see the new life and the new beginning there. This is what was happening with Abraham. He said there's going to be a new life, a new beginning, a new day, and a great nation is going to come out of you. But he said you need something. Abraham did what? He found grace, righteousness, and he had faith that God was going to deliver on what he said he was going to do. Have you ever thought about when you ask God something? It may not happen on your time, but they waited years before Isaac came along. Just like us today. Sometimes we may wait months, years, or whatever it may be until God answers that prayer, but God will answer the prayer. Sometimes you may not like the answer, but God will answer that prayer for us. He does it over and over again. You remember the lady I preached about several weeks ago that came to Jesus? And says that when she got down, she said, "Oh, son of David." And all of a sudden, you know, her daughter was sick. She had demons. Remember that? That was an interesting thing about the whole situation. Was the fact that as soon as she talked, Jesus ignored this individual. You see, why did he ignore her? Because he was trying to get her to understand that she was to humble herself even more than what she was, and by faith believe on him before he would ever heal that young lady. There's another time that Jesus himself went to a man that was blind. You remember when he spit on his eyes and he spit at him and he rubbed his eyes and he asked him a question? He said, "Can you see?" And he said this. He said, "I can see figures." He said, "I see somebody moving. I see trees and things of this nature." Well, what's interesting about the whole situation is this. That's the first time and only time, unless you can show me different, where he didn't heal instantaneously. You want to know why? Because he did it twice. And he did it for one reason. So that this man would understand that when he opened his eyes, that God had healed him. It was his unbelief at first. And the second time, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He could see. Isn't it amazing how God works in a mysterious way? Abraham, he believed, he listened, he followed, and God gave him direction. How many of us today really listen to what God tells us? When you sit down and study his word, and he says, "I have a plan for you. And this is my plan for you. I want you to be about my business." Remember Paul said that over and over again to young Timothy? We've been studying him in Sunday school. Timothy, he said, "You need to be about the Father's business." You remember those days, you know, he talks about those things. We as individuals are to be about our Father's business every day. Every day. Not haphazardly, miss a day here, miss a day there. Every day we'll be doing what he asked of us to do. Paul declared that Abraham believed God without what he called becoming weak in faith. He became strong in his faith. Are you strong or are you weak? Do you believe or not believe? Do you believe that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? What do you really believe in your walk with Jesus today? Or do you have a walk with Jesus? Do you have a close relationship? Look what he said in verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years, neither yet had his deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith according as he was giving glory to God. Everything you do, do you give glory to God? Everything. When you got saved, did you give glory to God? Huh? At least two of you did anyway. Huh? Do you ever really think about how loving and kind God is to you? And when he tells you that he loves you, he sent his son to die for you, he's giving you a new beginning and a new way of life, do you ever think about, "Thank you, Lord, for all your glory, your love, your righteousness, the understanding that you have in my life"? Do you ever think about that? You know, we can sit there every single Sunday and look the same way, humdrum. That's how we look most of the time. There's no spiritual activity. You want to know why? You want to know why? Because we're not prayed up and stayed up with Jesus like we should be, and we're not living to his standards like he wants us to. That's why we have a humdrum look about us. You can say, "Well, preacher, I don't have to smile all the time." Well, let's smile one time for me, okay? Just one time. When we come to church, I want to see and I want to feel God's grace and love every time we come through the door. Yes, indeed. He saved me for a purpose.
give him all the glory and all the credit for everything he does for me. Like this morning, my hands would work. And I wasn't sure I was going to be able to take it today. And he just got to help him. Just help me get the other side of his face. And I want everyone in this church to know he is real.
Amen. He's alive?
He's here. And he can heal anybody. He healed me. I was close to death. Really close. And I just want everybody to know that. And I love him so much. And anything he asked me to do, it's hard to walk up here and stop your pastor in the middle of a wonderful service.
Sorry. Sorry.
It's hard to do that. But this is what he asked me to do this day. That I'm going to listen to him no matter what. And that's what he wanted me to say this morning. So I just love y'all, and I just wanted y'all to know that.
God bless you, my dear. God bless you. Amen. Amen. You cannot keep God from moving in people's lives, no matter who they are. Annette, I feel for you each Sunday that you come. I want you to understand this. If you don't know, maybe not know this, she has arthritis real bad on her hand. Some Sundays she doesn't get that key like it's supposed to be. I don't say anything better than that, you get up and play the piano, but I don't think so. It's God's grace that gives her the strength that she has. I know when she came to me and said, Pastor, I've been called to God to play the piano. I'm not that good at it. I said, not how good you are, but can you play the note? You know, sometimes I know when you're playing and I hear it, and when I go to a cappella, it's to give you a break. I want you to know that because God tells me to do that. It's to help her, too, see, to get through this. You see what it does? It's a blessing from God to see someone who is willing to do whatever God asks of them to do, regardless of the situation that they're in. Most of you know, she shouldn't be here today. Because God, many years ago, how many years has it been now? 13 years ago, she was told she had cancer and she wasn't going to live 6 months. That was 13 years ago. Some of you in here are in the same boat. You've got the same problems. You've got problems with cancer. We know this. You're here because of God's grace and God's mercy and being faithful to Him and what God can do. You see, this is a living proof right here, okay? We have living proof. I have living proof right here this morning of Cheryl, what she's going through. But she's here because of God's grace and God's love and God's mercy. And I look at all of you around here today, and many of you sitting back there the same thing. And it's because of God's grace and love, my friends, that I can stand here this morning and tell you that He is alive today. He is alive today. And to see someone that would be willing to come forward and make that profession right here in front of you this morning, it just does my heart good. It softens me. Thank you, God, you listened to the Lord this morning. And just going back for a few minutes to Abraham's life, same thing. He followed. He listened. And God delivered. And God did exactly what, Abraham did exactly what God told him to do in that faith relationship. Look what he said in verse number 21. And being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able also to perform. You hear that? God is always able to perform whatever he has promised you or promised me. I can claim those promises. You know why? Because the Bible is full of promises. He said he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise from God. The Bible tells us he will always love you. That's a promise from God. He said, I'm going to send my son to die for you. A promise from God. He said he will raise him from the dead. That's a promise from God. He did it. He said he is coming again. A promise from God has not been fulfilled, but it will be fulfilled one day because of the promise God has given to us. You may be here this morning and don't understand that, but let me tell you very plainly. You either have Christ in your life or you don't have Christ in your life. It's just that simple. Either you accept Him for what He's done on Calvary's cross or you reject Him and you walk away from Him and say, I don't need that. It cost Jesus His life to give us life. Abraham. If you look at Abraham's life, go back to when Isaac was born. Do you remember when he took him up into the mountains? He was to make a sacrifice of his own son. He didn't ask any questions. He took Isaac and he took the wood, it says. And as they were going, his son said, where is the sacrifice? And he said, God will provide the sacrifice. And he took his son and he tied him up and he laid him on that altar, you know, and took that knife and was getting ready to stab him and to tell the Lord, you know, he said, I will not even, you know, I'll do everything you tell me to, even give you my son's own life, he said. That is a type of Christ. He was willing to give his life, his son's life, to prove to God his faithfulness and how much he loved God. That's a continual thing today. But then he said there was a ram that was caught in the thicket. And what did they do? They made sacrifice and praised God on that mountain that day. Same thing Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. He was willing to give his life so that we could have that life and that abundant life. A promise God has given to us at the beginning. He said, therefore, in verse 22, it was imputed to him for righteousness. You remember all the men in the Bible you talked about had righteousness? Remember Noah found what? He said, it was found that Noah found what? Righteousness. It was that word found in the Bible means when he found it, right? The word found goes back to the word called grace. Noah found grace in the sight of God. That's what it is. Grace, God's grace was sufficient. You remember Paul when he was down and out and things weren't going well? And he went to the Lord three times with a thorn in the flesh. And he talked to him and he said, Lord, he says, please remove from me the thorn in my flesh. And three times he went to him. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient enough for you. He said, get about my business. He said, I'll take care of everything. And he did it. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. None of us in this sanctuary should ever be afraid to tell someone about Christ and about the relationship that he's given to us today. I want you to go back to Romans 1 very quickly. And I want you to look down with me to verse number 6. Verse 6 is a verse that is very precious and dear to my heart. The reason is because before I got in ministry, I was going to go to another church as an associate pastor in Texas. And that door just went like this, closed. I said, boy, I can't handle this. I'm retiring from the Navy. I got to go do something. You know, what am I going to do? You know, I turned down a big job in the shipyard to go preach. I always remember as I was in my office one day and I was praying. I said, Lord, you called me to preach. I said, it's in your hands where you put me. He took me to this verse right here. Because I was about ready to just give up, tuck the Bible, and not go to school. And you know, I was just going to go somewhere and go to work. And I read this verse 6 when it said this, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. He impressed on me in my spirit this. I have called you, and I will equip you to be a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read this verse. I cried over this verse. I studied this verse for those 3 days, just that one verse. Boy, I prayed and I cried for 3 more days. Lord, if it be thy will, whatever it is you have for me, I will take that step and go that way. After I prayed and sought the Lord for those 3 days, and when the day later the door just opened up just like that, and he sent me to a church in Beulah Call to preach. And they called me as their pastor. And I started realizing right then and there that God is always faithful, he's always true, that his grace is sufficient enough for me, that his righteousness is imputed into me, and that his love has reached out to me through the scriptures he has given to me to study and the word I proclaim to you. There are many stories that we can tell each one of us here about what God has done for you. I can talk about what he's done for me. But the most important thing is what Christ did on the cross of Calvary to give me life, to give me abundant life that the Bible teaches. We are to take this word and to nurture it, to love it, to live by it each and every day. To understand that God is good. Because in verse 7 of this first chapter says this, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Paul said in his salutation these words, grace to you, peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. What else can I say? What else can I say to you this morning? God's door is always open. His arms are open wide for you to come in. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to love you. He wants to hug on you. He wants to wrap those arms around you like you've never felt before. This is what God has for us. That's why when we come to the door of this church, we should be looking for more and more of God's love and grace when we come together and to share that relationship with one another. I said, we can't do it without Him. Because He needs to be centered in our lives today and every day that we live. It's by faith we do these things. Abraham did not doubt God's promise. He didn't look at the circumstances around him. He just got up and went because God gave him direction. He also, with respect to the promise of God, Abraham did not waver in any type of unbelief. He didn't waver. He went straight forward as God told him. And he continued on that process. And Abraham's faith was characterized by what he called by giving glory to God for what he had done for him. And also on top of that, Abraham was fully persuaded that God's promise was certain, His power was sufficient. And also being fully assured of this, I'm going to read this to you, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God didn't let him down. Abraham didn't let God down. When he said go, he went. And he was willing to do it because of his faith, because of his belief, and what God had told him to do. So how do you apply all of this to your life today like Abraham? One word. It's called faith. Having faith and believing. It's a marvelous word. And being reckoned for what he called his righteousness. He was able to leave his homeland to a place he'd never been before. Being led of God Almighty in everything that He did. You know, most of us, they can't even get to Richmond without a GPS, isn't that right? We've got to have that thing. You know? We've got to have something to give us direction. See this book right here? This is your roadmap to life. This is your roadmap to eternity through Jesus Christ. This is the way, truth, and life that no man can take away from you if you have Christ in your life. When I preach funerals, I like to always go to John most of the time because it says this, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. The word I saw would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. Where I go, there you may be also, as he says in so many words. But you know what's really interesting about that whole chapter down through verse 6? Is how people today are just like Thomas. They doubt and they don't believe because they can't see. What do you need to see? You know what you need to see? That you're a sinner. We're all sinners saved by God's grace. And if you don't know God, and you don't know the grace that He has for you, you better find it. Because without it, you'll never get to heaven. Because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. And that's exactly what He means. Where is the way to heaven? Through Jesus Christ. Where is the life that He gives you? He gave it to you on the cross of Calvary. When He died, came off of Him, lives again. When He rose from the dead. The tomb He walked out of. And what is truth? First few words in the Bible are the truth. In the beginning, God created. You're either going to believe it or you're not going to believe it. You're either going to have faith and live by God's standards or you're going to live by Satan's standards. The Bible says you cannot serve two masters. You can only serve one. So my final question to you this morning is this. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.